Overlooking Phoenix, from high above in the Star Worldwide Network studios, Badge Boys. Stories, insight, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Brought to you by OfficerPrivacy.com, the company's officers trust with their online privacy. And now, here they are, the Badge Boys.
Welcome back to another edition of the Badge Boys, the show where two retired cops talk to the community. I'm retired Crime Stopper Sergeant Darren Birch.
I'm retired Phoenix Police Officer Jason Schechterly.
And we have another riveting show for you. Our headline guest is Russ Johns. He has the Pirate Network, a host, pod host extraordinaire. And he has this 34 years in the business. But what's interesting, on top of all that, is what happened in his early life. Near-death experience. He was a reserve firefighter, extraordinary gentleman, and we're going to be talking to him during the first part, and we're going to have him stick around for our Cop Talk segment. We're going to talk about USA Today had a story that BOM is on the decline, and positivity towards cops? That's right, it's rising. So maybe they had a bridge too far. Then we're going to go into our last segment. We're going to have heroic headlines. We're going to have stupid suspects. We're going to have a dumb de Blasio report.
Yay! Oh,
and Jason's always inspirational close. So stay tuned, stay informed. Most of all, you're going to be entertained.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Badge Boys. We'll be back right after this.
OfficerPrivacy.com is offering a special deal for listeners of this podcast. This is a great deal. Go to officerprivacy.com/BB. Their team of current and retired law enforcement officers will remove your information from the top three sites that are showing your home address, phone number, and more. Sign up at officerprivacy.com/BB. You can also follow the link on our show notes.
Well, my. We happen to know that guy. Criminals think they are so smart. The problem for them is the police are smarter. Detectives resolve things. They don't give up. I'm not the only one who answered the call.
I am retired Sergeant Darren Birch.
Detective Chris McMullen.
Detective Frank Dillard.
Robert Cushing.
Vermont State Police.
Now, where did he come from?
Every detective has that one case. This is that one case for me.
He thinks he can outsmart these detectives. Well, he has another thing coming.
You're not going to be able to run from it.
You want to find that smoking gun.
He does what he was made to do. Find the bad guy. That is, as they say in tennis, game, set, and match.
American Detective, coming exclusively to Discovery Plus, early 2021. Learn more at discoveryplus.com.
You're listening to Badge Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Badge Boys.
Welcome back to Badge Boys, everybody. Brought to you by OfficerPrivacy.com. Darren, I am very excited in my latest report this week from Lieutenant Pete James and his crew. I am officially removed from all 30 sites. And a great peace of mind. So worth the money. OfficerPrivacy.com/Badge Boys. You get a discount. Go to that site. Support this company. Support yourselves and your safety and your family. It's just incredible. So can't thank you all enough for not only sponsoring us, but giving us some peace of mind. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And Darren, as always, you have brought on another incredible guest who's got not one, not two, but at least three good stories to tell.
Really,
so let's get into that.
Truly fascinating.
Yeah.
I met Russ Johns. He is a, when I say podcast guru, extraordinaire, I'm not just throwing in words.
Unlike us?
Right, exactly. We have 100 shows.
We just do this once a week for fun.
We fake it well.
Right.
This guy's the real thing.
Okay.
He also has a network. It is the Pirate Broadcast Network, and that's the show he puts on. He puts on a show every single day with really life-affirming, positive speakers, people that have books on the subject, just every single day. And that's how I met him. But as I was on his show a couple times, we talked, I kind of learned the Russ Johns behind the microphone, talking about his time as a volunteer firefighter, as a father, family man, and he had this near-death experience that well, it would make someone like yourself understood. You get this, Jason. Yeah. Whereas others out there may not. You know, that when something horrific happens that truly changes your life, yeah. To say, oh, well, I made, lemonade from lemons, it doesn't really do it justice from what you two gentlemen have gone through. So, again, 34-year history in media. He's a live streaming strategist. He has the Pirate Syndicate, where he's the host of the Pirate Broadcast. He is the founder of the Next Step Next, out of Houston, and he has you'll love this, Robin, he has a radio background with KBRZ Sports, where he was a general manager out of Sugarland, Texas. I don't even know what Sugarland, Texas is, other than the old Steven Spielberg film.
I can tell you it's an awesome town.
Okay.
And it produced a pretty awesome country band, so
okay.
That's all you
okay.
need to
That's
know.
All I need to know. That's all I need to know. So without further ado, I want to introduce Russ. Thank you for coming on the show, my friend.
It's my pleasure, and Darren, Jason, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and have a conversation and actually share a few stories. So appreciate it. Thank you.
One of the things I love when I went from broadcast radio, where it was called 50 Info, where you had 15 minutes, you had just enough time to put out some intelligence, some information. It wasn't story driven. I love this show because we're able to do stories. Am I right?
You're very correct, and I want to throw in a quick plug. I would encourage our listeners, make sure that when you listen to the show, actually look at the website and look at the picture that we're going to post, because no joke.
Oh, yeah.
Russ has the greatest goatee
I've ever seen
in my life. And I'm quite jealous because I used to have a goatee.
Okay.
Back when I could have facial hair.
Okay.
This is the greatest goatee I've ever seen. So we're going to post a picture of that, and to get a sense, you know, you can always get a better sense of somebody's personality when you take a look at their face. There's a lot of character, and Russ, I got to give you credit for what you're displaying here. I'm jealous, very jealous.
And as beautiful as the look is, Russ, as beautiful as you are as a human being and a man with the dome and the goatee.
Yeah, baby,
you got it all going.
I call it an extra wide part.
That's right. Hey, I'm right with you, buddy. Extra wide.
Now, if you haven't picked this up already out there in the listening audience, Russ is very positive, really low key, really good guy. His show, he always starts it off with "Kindness is cool." I love that catchphrase. And smiles are free. Before I backstep and go into your life before the microphone, tell us why you say that and what the purpose is of your podcast.
Darren, the purpose of the podcast and the purpose of the Pirate Broadcast is, as a lot of people may or may not know, when you start a radio station and you're broadcasting, if you do not have a license, you are considered a pirate broadcaster. And so it's a little play on words, and the opportunity where we are right now today is that we have the opportunity to pick up our phone, create media, create content, and put it out to the world. So we're all a little bit of a pirate. And then the "kindness is cool and smiles are free" part came in as a result of my years of adversity and challenges and the idea that you don't know what someone's going through. You don't know what the person next to you is, you know, standing in line at the grocery store has been dealing with in their life. True. So everything that we can do, whether it's open a door, return a cart, pick up garbage, or say a compliment, you know, tell somebody that we're doing okay is part of my fabric. It's part of who I am in it. And because I've been in those situations, and I just really encourage people to take a minute and just reflect on that, have a little gratitude to the things around us, and make sure that we're doing what we can to help others.
As you're saying this, Jason is so animated.
It's the motto I live by every day. Leave the day better than you found it. One day at a time. And he brings up little things. Like, put an extra shopping cart away. An extra one.
It's not just yours. Things.
Grab somebody else's. And it's easy to be like, who's the douchebag that left this in the median or in the middle of the parking space? You know what? It doesn't matter. Just put it away and help the person who's collecting carts. And you're right about smiles, and you are very correct that everybody has a story, and you do not know what people are going through. It's awesome to listen to that, because I've never heard somebody come in here and say like the exact words that I repeat in my speeches over and over and over. It's something I believe in very much. So
he has a great heart. Awesome. He has a good heart. Yeah. He's a good person.
It's got a beautiful smile behind that beard too.
Behind that goatee.
Yeah.
And to kind of a testament to that, you were a reserve firefighter. Tell us about that, because I want to learn about the young Russ, if you will.
That's a great story, Darren, because we'll get into the life incident. However, as I was recovering, I was out of 2 years of rehab and reconstruction, and we found a place, the family, in Portland, Oregon.
Beautiful city.
Yeah.
Once was.
And that's a different story. I love Portland. And
me too.
There's a
I
but now.
Too. I do
there's,
too.
There's a hesitation of current status.
A
right?
disclaimer before a disclaimer. You talk now.
However, at the moment, I was out there, and it was outside. We had a 10-acre parcel, you know, a farm. And it was an old property that had a single-wide trailer. I mean, we had nothing because we were like, rebuilding and recovering, and we had put in a fireplace, and I had to have it inspected by the fire marshal. And so I had this conversation with the fire marshal, and all of a sudden he says, you know, we have a fire department here. It's a volunteer fire department, and we really would encourage you to this inspection. It would be really nice if you could talk to us about volunteering at the fire department.
A little quid pro quo.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I was in the safety field at the time, and I was dealing with, different, CPR, different practices in helping people in the safety field. So it was kind of a relationship. And so I got involved and volunteered for the fire department, got involved in, I was an EMT, and worked in and out of the emergency room a couple of times, and went on calls and put out fires and helped the community out. And it was a great experience. And because of life, I ran out of time and schedule and moved and ended up moving into Seattle area. And so I had to give that up. But it was a wonderful experience and a lot of adventures in the firefighting arena at that
and
point in time.
You kind of talked a little bit about rehabilitation, mm-hmm. and this was after that. And so that, again, kind of sometimes when something bad happens, the more you give to others, the more you kind of heal. So with
absolutely.
That in mind,
absolutely.
Tell us about your story.
Well, it was, I got into advertising in 1985, actually, and I moved to Portland in 86, and then late in 87, during the winter of 87, I was on a billboard. I was doing stuff. I actually grew up as a musician. I was playing music and had migrated to Portland because I wanted to, do something else
grunge
in the music.
Bands.
Yeah, and I was doing a side job, billboards, advertising, and I happened to be on this billboard, and I climbed up the billboard. It's about three stories, and I noticed a mother and a son across the street at a bus stop. And as I was getting up, it was falling apart and falling down. And inadvertently, I had placed the ladder over the top of the paper, not the top of the sign. So when I went to push on it to check to make sure that it was secure before I connected my lifeline to it, it came through and I was catapulted off the deck and falling three stories with a ladder in my hand.
Oh.
And it was almost as if it was in slow motion, and I was looking across the street, and that kid was pointing, and all of a sudden I, hit the ground. I wake up, or I look up, and my finger is missing, and my arm is obviously not in the right position. And fortunately, the young man saw me, and he said, "Mom, that guy just jumped off the sign." And so that started an adventure down a path, and then I had complications and infection, and every time I'd go into surgery, they said, "Hey, we might have to take your arm with us, and you might not come back, so be prepared for it." And I just thought to myself, "I'm happy to be alive,
right?"
I'm really, because I've had experiences. I lost a sister from an accident, head injury, just falling off the back of a horse.
Oh my God.
So I know so that sorry. There's I know that there's a lot of circumstances that we can survive, and at the same time, there's such a frail
Thank
element
you.
In life.
Yeah.
You know, we are so frail and fragile that there's not anything that really can we can guess or expect out of life.
The key to what you're saying right now, when you say there's a lot of situations we can survive, you're bringing up both, or not both, you're actually bringing up the four main areas when you talk about, obviously, the physical.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you talk about your sister, now you're getting into the emotional, the spirit. She didn't survive.
No, she
right?
did not survive.
You had to survive. You know, for I think most people know this, being dead is like easy. It only hurts the people that you right. left behind.
Yep.
That's when you get into the spiritual and emotional and mental injuries that you need to survive, the unseen, the hidden. And you're probably a lot like me as far as being somewhat introverted on that part of it. You know what I mean? You got to deal with it on your own or with your
in our own way
or your close-knit support system. It's not something you share with somebody. So I, again, you're hitting on, you're really pushing buttons that mean so much to me when you bring up, and I'm sorry, I mean this sincerely about your sister. What a freak accident. I've seen it happen. I grew up with horses, riding horses. My mother was a barrel racer. My sister,
Christopher Reeves.
But yeah. You know what? That's a great example. And he ended up dying of his injuries
Superman.
A long time later.
Yeah.
But the way he handled those injuries was remarkable.
It was.
And the way that not only to lose your sister, it doesn't matter how you lost her, lost her.
Right.
And then you get into the other injuries that we're talking about. So I think that's important for people to, you don't just listen to a sentence and just be like, I'll accept that at face value. There's always so much more to it. And when you talk about injuries like that, that really, it resonates with me. It should resonate with everybody because it's not just a broken arm or a missing finger. Who cares?
Well, there's right? a lot of loss.
Do you care that you missed a finger?
No.
No. Exactly. Well, exactly.
They sewed it back on, so I'm okay.
But people who have never lost a finger will easily, and I would do the same thing, be like, oh my God, I can't imagine. But then you do it. I've lost five, and I'm like, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not that big a deal after some time.
Compared to living.
I think it's important that we understand. Compared to living. I think it's important that we all understand, and it goes back to the kindness is cool and smiles are free. It's like you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know what the next hour will bring. And appreciate every moment that you have and take pause to understand that we are all you know, flying through the universe in the same rock here. Mm-hmm. And there's always a common thread. And it's just like, we've never met.
Right.
However, there's a common thread that we're already connected with. And,
yes, indeed.
And these stories and the way we tell stories and the way we produce content and the way we allow ourselves to be seen, be heard, and be talked about, it's important for others around us because we can either set the example or drive people crazy.
You know, and I'd like to bring up, this might be a little off topic, Darren, so
no worries, I'll bring it back later.
Give me a second. yeah. You can always circle back, right?
We're not used to.
Yeah, Jason gets off at his tangents. But this again, it makes my everyday point, and it resonates with me because I'm not afraid to admit it, like the unconscious bias, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've never met. If I saw you on the street, it made me laugh just a few minutes ago quietly. Nobody, this is not on TV. People only hear in our voices. But if I went into the grocery store and I saw you, I would say two things. That guy is either a musician or a Hell's Angel. That's all there is to it. Right?
It might be a hard ass. Right? I have to walk past that, him.
But that's the unconscious bias.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't mean bias in a bad way. That I would make that judgment, it's an appearance thing.
Yeah.
Just like when people look at me like, Jesus Christ. However, now I'm sitting here and you hear the voice.
Your best buddies.
You hear the voice. Yeah. You hear the story.
Thank you.
All of a sudden,
the person
everything,
comes out.
Everything fades away except the human element and
there
the kindness
go.
And the humility. That, in a nutshell, is what we all need to get better at if we're going to fix all the problems in the world. I know we do a law enforcement podcast, but there's numerous problems in the world. And this is a great example of how we can all learn together to be better.
Absolutely. And you've created a podcast for that purpose, Russ. But before we go into that, because I do want to talk about that,
sure.
I need to hear about the little boy. Did he save your life? Were you in a situation when you fell, you were like isolated, remote, or maybe no one would have seen you and you would have died there? Can you tell us a little bit about that young boy?
Yeah, diving in, they actually came over and the property that I fell on didn't have any resources, so they went next door and took the initiative to actually call an ambulance and call the paramedics in and, you know, come and pick me up. I never found out who they were, you know, going back to another conversation. I didn't, they left and they just, once the ambulance arrived, apparently, they picked me up. And because it was a trauma center, they passed by hospital to get to the trauma center. And I said,
hey,
damn backstreet driver.
Where are we going?
It was unfortunate. I was still conscious.
Yeah.
Fortunately. So I can't say, you know, what would have happened, could have, should have, would have.
Right.
However, I just thank the opportunity that somebody did see me. And there have been many circumstances where it could have gone completely in a different direction.
Yeah. And the reason Russ was talking to me about, we've had other conversations about this. We had a subject on your show where he walked out of a Walmart and a driverless vehicle end up running him over, taking off his arm, completely severed it. He would have died had a nurse
not walked out at that particular moment in time.
She walks out and she saves his life.
Obviously, I love nurses. So
he does not know her name. Yeah. And Russ does not know that little boy's name. There are so many people that, oh, please.
So the moral of the story is kindness is cool. Smiles are free. And you don't know who the helpers are going to be in your world.
Yeah, yeah. It can be that person coming out of Walmart.
But at the end of the day, does it matter that you don't know their
name? Well,
it's
like the unknown soldier. We celebrate it.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It creates gratitude.
Because those people represent.
They're everybody.
There. That's it. Right there. That's everybody. It doesn't matter if their name is John or Jason or Darren. It doesn't matter. What matters is, it's human kindness, and that represents everything.
And that's a perfect way to take a break. We're going to be right back with everybody on the show. We're going to talk to Russ about his podcast, about what he does, and then he's going to weigh in on the USA Today article that talked about maybe BOM has bit off a little bit more than
I can't wait to talk about this because I do not believe you.
I got to watch my volume
on
this.
USA
we're
going to
have a lot of fun because we have not gotten there, and I already think Darren is full of shit. So please come on back.
So you can smell my shit.
Well, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to be like, explain to me why you're not full of shit. Come back to Badge Boys, brought to you by OfficerPrivacy.com.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Badge Boys. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Pete James, a retired law enforcement officer who has a passion for the safety and security of those in the profession. OfficerPrivacy.com offers a full range of privacy services that removes your personal information from the internet so you and your family can feel safe and secure in your home. OfficerPrivacy.com will keep you safe.
You're listening to Badge Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Badge Boys.
I love that first segment. As excited as I am about what we've talked about, I'm more excited about what we will be talking about with Russ Johns, our guest. He is the Pirate Syndicate. I'm really excited, but I want to talk a little bit real quick about our sponsor, OfficerPrivacy.com. It is absolutely keeps us safe. When people like Russ Johns is on the radio every single day, you see his face. It's a video podcast. He's out there. His name is out there. Mm-hmm. Jason, you travel the world. Uh-huh. Pre-COVID, of course. You were always out there, always had your story. And it keeps us safe, the people that are out there in the public eye, if you will. The thing is, everybody can be stalked. Robin, have you been stalked?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, working in the media, working in radio and the music industry, absolutely.
I'm short, pale, and average, and I've been stalked. So if I can get stalked, anyone can get stalked.
You are a very handsome individual.
Well, you
I love
are.
You too, sexy.
I don't want to hit it. That's right. That's right. Sexy. Say that again.
Sexy. OfficerPrivacy.com. We've segued badly.
What are you guys on today?
We are the worst.
We're having way too much fun. That's what it is. We're having way too much fun. So
trying to keep up. We've done how many 108, 109 podcasts, and we're sitting with somebody who's done
34 years worth in the industry,
and he does it almost
every single day.
Can't imagine.
Yes. I can.
Exactly.
Well, that's because you do it.
I knew I would bring Russ in, and he would totally relate to Jason.
I stress out about coming in here once a week and doing the show, right? This guy does it every day.
And I knew you guys would fall in love with him because I fell in love with him.
All right, so.
And I fell in love with him because of your show, Russ. You start off right off the bat with, the kindness and the smiles are free. And it just resonates. It resonates with your guests. It resonates with your audience. Talk about that.
Darren, you know, it's amazing to think that I've been a content creator for over a number of years, and I really got involved in podcasting as a art form and, creating shows as a result of being a manager of a radio station in Houston arena, Sugarland, Texas, and we were doing live streaming for high school varsity games. So we would go out and I'd have producers go out and watch the game and actually participate, call the game just like a sports announcer. And I was using internet technology to stream that to the studio, and then we would rebroadcast that out to the tower. And so as a result of that, I got involved in podcasting, and I taught podcasting, and I taught, at the university, and I taught a lot of podcasters and a lot of broadcasters. And I got to the point where I wasn't really excited about editing a podcast. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go live stream so I don't have to edit. I'm just going to do live stream.
Smart man.
I like this guy.
Very smart individual.
He's talking right up my alley.
No editing.
I spent years in and out of corporate environments. And I was also involved in, project management. I grew up in construction. So, what's the next task? What do we need to do next? So step by step. So I created this process of, and you experienced this, Darren, is, okay, you get notified, you fill out a form, you get notifications when the show is ready, you get a link, you get an update, you get a reminder, and all of these things, all these elements, and then the social media is in place. So I built systems around that. And the Pirate Broadcast is actually the test ground for the Pirate Syndicate. So now I'm producing shows for other people, just like Robin's doing, and making sure that all of these processes are in place, and it's based on a model that is live streaming, so we don't have to edit. And then what we do is we take that live stream, we process it into a podcast, we transcribe it into a post, and then we put it out on the web so everybody has words, images, audio, and video. So it's a package and a service that I use the Pirate Broadcast to experiment with and test out these strategies and these processes. And it really works.
Did you find that having it live streaming, and I'll ask this to you as well as Robin, that there's this authenticity, this genuineness, this candidness? Jason talks about it all the time, vulnerableness, where you're going to talk from the heart. You can't capture that in something that's slick and packaged. It's real. It's raw.
Absolutely. And this is the reason that I probably have this in my DNA, and Robin's probably one person that can appreciate this, is the idea that as a musician, I played almost every single night for one stretch was 4 years. I played, as house band, played music every single night, two different clubs, and I'd go out and play. And I just, that's what I wanted to do. That's what I lived for. That's what I practiced on. I started playing clubs when I was 16. And until I fell, and had to change my direction and life, took over, my whole goal was, it's a groove. It's like rhythm, it's like, okay, this rhythm, I get up in the morning, I have a little gratitude, I appreciate the fact that I have a roof over my head, I have food in the fridge, I have lights on, and I get up and I have an interesting conversation with somebody that I may or may not know, and that unique, fresh approach is always something that sets the tone for my day and actually gives me a little bit of joy and appreciation for what I have. And then I take off on my day, whatever it happens to be, and I have clients and, you know, things that I have to get done. And I moved to Arizona for as a caregiver for my parents. Lost dad on Father's Day.
Oh, so sorry to hear that.
On Father's Day.
Yeah.
I lost my dad on the anniversary of my accident.
Oh.
Wow.
I mean, dates. Yeah, it's. Yeah, don't you feel like dates. Killing your dad? Really?
Yeah.
Could you have done the day before, the day after? You gotta love your fathers, right?
Yeah,
they leave you with those memories.
Well, and it's really, you know, that just adds to the appreciation and the authenticity. And, you know, sometimes we hear that word all the time, and, you know, sometimes it means something, sometimes it doesn't. However, being there every single day and understanding and appreciating the things we have and getting that groove and making sure that if I help one person, if I put somebody in place and help motivate or inspire, that's great.
You know, I love talking about appreciating people. And right now we're in a time where police aren't being appreciated. There was a time in 2001 with
September 12th.
Thank you.
Yes.
We're all saying that day after 9/11, police officers, firemen, we truly love
first
them.
First responders.
We love their heroic. And thank you. First responders, period. Whether they're the doctors and hospitals and everyone that was involved in New York City, we lived vicariously through you and we loved you. And now BOM has, I think, single-handedly created this false narrative against police with a broad brush based on key situations that have occurred, whether it's Trayvon Martin, whether it's Michael Brown, or the most horrific incident, of course, with George Floyd. They were able to take it, I think, had a agenda and use these for their agenda. So reason I bring this up is USA Today, their headline was support for BOM has fallen and support for police has risen. USA Today, and this was by John Sexton, this is truly, USA Today is not a conservative newspaper. They said today published the results of a new poll on the public support for Black Lives Matter and for police. The poll found that support for BOM is still down from the heights it briefly saw last summer. Meanwhile, trust in police is substantially up. They're seeing that the people in the Black community, and this is both left and right, and this is also racial, in terms of the people in the Black community are starting to say, you've gone too far. We want police. When you start talking about defunding, and dismantling, that's going to affect the bad neighborhoods. That's going to affect the areas where there's crime. And we've seen, sadly, that does affect the Black community. And so you have the Black community coming forward and saying, you've gone too far. You know, we may like the message. You know, I always talk about BOM opposed to Black Lives Matter. I love those three words, Black Lives Matter. I hate those three letters that represent a organization that divides. What is your take as a media person that understands how media can construe things, they can, you know, tweak it and
control
package
the
it.
Rhetoric.
Thank you. Control the agenda. What do you think about this news? Do you believe it? Or are you thinking I'm full of shit like Jason?
Well, first of all,
I haven't even gotten to speak yet.
Well, let me bridge the conversation here.
Be because, the moderator.
Because the reality is as somebody that's been in media and somebody that has been in advertising and marketing, you know, the long-term adage is marketers always ruin something eventually, right? And messaging to a very, very, I think, an exception in society as being, you know, there's going to be bad apples in every community. There's going to be bad apples in every slice of society that you go through. And to point that out and to build a momentum and a movement after a very small, minute issue that happened and then include everyone in that equation is destructive, and eventually that message will get diluted because it becomes noise. Just like any messaging, it becomes noise, and then people get to the point where they're not necessarily paying attention to it. So what happens is, as you continue to expand your message, you need to be making sure that your message is making an impact. And I think my experience from Black Lives Matter and the movement around that is that the funding and the momentum is not going back into the community where it's absolutely needed and necessary. And change is not taking place as fast as the movement grew. And therefore, a lot of people are frustrated by the activity and the actions that have been taken and put into position. And therefore, there's a lot of people that are getting discouraged by the entire process, and they're getting frustrated by the exercise. So, and I don't want to diminish anybody's opinions or options on this. However, that's my opinion, and that's my message is like, if you're going to create a movement, you need to follow it up with action and activity that's going to be productive.
Love it.
Yeah, but unfortunately, in today's society, not what we grew up in, everybody has an agenda. And this goes back, you hear it on the news, when I'm stupid enough to turn on cable news, you still hear this one sentence who was, it was spoken by Rahm Emanuel, who was the former Chicago mayor, a big, big reason of why the murder rate in Chicago, why black lives suffer in Chicago, and why police are hated. He made the comment in 2008, never let a good crisis go to waste. First of all, there is no good crisis.
There is no good
crisis. The crisis, it, by definition, is not good. So that should expel his thoughts and comments anyway. But when Black Lives Matter, the movement, again, Black Lives Matter, of course they do, but so do Norwegian and Irish and Australian and Greek. I don't care who we're talking about. All lives, we're all human beings. We all have
we're people. We're all on the same rock.
Well, we all have people that we love and that love us, and we are human beings, and we are for the most part, doing the best that we can. You take something like what happened to Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and I might have forgotten the year. I think it was 2014. But so BLM started out of that, and Ferguson, the businesses that got burned, all the way down to Michael Brown's family, have seen no help and assistance, yet BLM has raised about $90 million. Where the fuck is that money going to? It's going to fund riots, transportation to get people to other cities, whenever
and
the next
Democratic Party.
You know, something could happen right now. We could walk out of this podcast and there could be a breaking news event, right? And they're going to funnel that money and organize into attacking that. And in about...
storing it.
On average, in about 16 hours, that story will go away and it'll be on to the next one. So I have no problem saying the Black Lives Matter movement, 100%, this is a terrorist organization, just like Antifa. And fuck you if you don't agree with me. And I welcome you to come visit me and we can take care of this. But the point that I really want to make is, if you believe in something and you are actually going to be truthful about it, if Black Lives Matter, then why are you not helping the people who are affected? Why are you not helping Michael Brown's family and Breonna Taylor's family and George Floyd's family? Why are you not trying to get Chicago to not be the murder capital of the country when most of the victims, as well as the suspects, are black? So the Black Lives Matter movement, when you look at it on paper, you're like, what the fuck are you doing? Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't match up with... I don't get their agenda. They're just raising money and being violent. That's all they're doing.
The cause and effect is not in alignment.
It's not an alignment at all.
It's not an alignment at all.
But that goes for most of our activism and our politicians, completely out of alignment.
And this, I think, goes to your point, Russ, where you talked about they lost, whether they lost or they were disingenuous. I would argue that they're probably disingenuous with their goal, which was to help lives. They had a mission. They had a purpose. But to your point, they lost focus and there was nothing productive. They were able to point fingers, but they weren't lifting fingers.
Well, I can't imagine how burning a business down to the ground that is owned, black-owned, and also supported by a black community, how that ever has any positive effect in their messaging, in the cause, in the response. Because it's really about disruption. It's about,
they don't care.
It's about disruption is what it is.
The rallying cry is no peace, no justice. That is not something that you can build a productive. There's no civil. During the Martin Luther King, I keep bringing Martin Luther King up because I think he was truly heroic in his actions and peace and making a difference for the positive. There is no individual within this movement that I can see. I see a lot of disruptors. I see a lot of people saying, I don't care if they're looting, it's reparations. I hear a lot of ugly, disruptive talk, dismantling talk, disfunding talk. I see a lot of negative talk. I don't see anything positive.
Nothing.
And yet the people that joined this movement, in my humble opinion, you may disagree with this, Jason, I believe that a lot of people that joined this movement, white, black, didn't matter, truly saw something so horrific that we all agreed on. One singular voice that we all agreed on.
I do agree.
George Floyd
that.
Was murdered.
I think
people jumped on that bandwagon for the right reason. That's why I say the words Black Lives Matter matter to me.
But it's their leaders.
Thank you.
That do not.
I think it was disingenuous.
Carry that same.
And I think now, based on USA Today and other polls, by the way, says perhaps the most interesting finding in this survey is that support for BLM has dropped more among black Americans than white Americans. Similarly, trust in police has gone up more among black Americans than even among whites. And that poll was also backed by Yahoo/YouGov poll and other polls. I think, and we've talked about this, I've always felt they're going to go a bridge too far. And maybe there wasn't one instant, one bridge. I think it's the collectiveness, like, you know what? Wait a minute. We're seeing police departments being dismantled, defunded. We're seeing crimes rise. And I hate to use the word common sense, but I think it is just common sense that the collective out there is saying enough's enough.
So when are we going to start a movement to avoid being a victim?
Well,
good luck.
You know what?
The victim mentality is killing.
Mm-hmm. Cycles take years.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to offend a lot of people when I say this, but all the kids who got trophies for showing up when they were 8 years old have all grown up now, whereas I grew up in the generation that you didn't always get picked for the team. You didn't always get a trophy. Well, all those entitled kids have grown up. And then, unfortunately, our education system is not so much about education anymore as it is about, here's what I think, and you 30 kids in my classroom better think exactly like I do.
Cancel culture.
It's a detriment to our society. I don't know how it's gotten to that it is the way it is in our colleges, but it is. So the cycle,
I think the
cycle's going to take a while to get back out, and it's going to take, like Darren said, not one bridge too far. There's a lot of bridges right now that are being built, and they are already overextended, and eventually they will collapse. And we will get back to what matters. And
Thank
what
you.
Matters is the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and living every day, being able to be safe, work hard,
do the right
no matter
thing.
What you've gone through.
Do the right thing.
No matter
thing.
What you've gone through in life, because we all have a story.
Yeah, we all
and
have a story.
And doing the right thing, not only but for yourself and your family, but for complete strangers.
And we have to stop rewriting history, too, because history already exists. Instead of trying to rewrite it and forget about it, we need to learn from it. And
well,
we haven't.
All right, then I'm going to go home and read a Dr. Seuss book, Robin. Thank you.
And hashtag kindness is cool. Russ, it's been
absolutely
so much fun having
awesome.
You here.
Awesome.
You know, I knew you would connect big time with Jason. You guys absolutely have are bonded from life.
No, guys, I believe I want to be a pirate.
I am a pirate.
Come aboard.
Oh, you are?
I
come
am
aboard.
A pirate.
Just put a patch on.
I'm
there
so jealous.
We're
going to
be
right.
here.
We will be right back with heroic headlines, some, I'm sure, awesome stupid suspect stories, and an inspirational close. Come on back.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Badge Boys. We'll be back right after this.
We both signed up for the service and are so happy with it. OfficerPrivacy.com is offering a very special deal for listeners of the Badge Boys. This is a great deal. Go to OfficerPrivacy.com/BB. Their team of current and retired law enforcement officers will remove your information from the top 30 sites that are showing your home address, your phone number, and so much more. When you sign up now with our link, you'll get a free bonus mailed to you, plus your first month of monitoring for free. You don't have to be an officer to sign up. If you are a family member or just don't want your personal information out there on the internet, you can join OfficerPrivacy.com. We've met the owner, had him on our show, great guy, and he will take care of you, I promise. If you care about your online privacy, and I highly recommend the service he provides, sign up at OfficerPrivacy.com/BB.
Well, my. We happen to know that guy. Criminals think they are so smart. The problem for them is the police are smarter. Detectives resolve things. They don't give up. I'm not the only one who answered the call.
I am retired Sergeant Darren Bruce.
Detective Chris McMullen.
Detective Frank Dillard.
Robert Cushing.
Vermont State Police.
Now, where did he come from?
Every detective has that one case. This is that one case for me.
He thinks he can outsmart these detectives. Well, he has another thing coming.
You're not going to be able to run from it.
You want to find that smoking gun.
He does what he was made to do. Find the bad guy. That is, as they say in tennis, game, set, and match.
American Detective, coming exclusively to Discovery Plus, early 2021. Learn more at DiscoveryPlus.com.
You're listening to Badge Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Badge Boys.
I absolutely love my pirate friend.
Oh my God, that was so
and I knew
good.
You guys would love him.
It was just ridiculous.
Yeah, good guy, has the right in the heart, and I think so many people are like him and like us. They want to do the right thing, and I think that's why we're going to get this nation back to where it needs to go. Because there's heroes like that. And I love this last segment because I get to listen to Jason talk about heroes out there. And there's so many that there's just so many. And that's a good
thing. There's so many every week. But this week, I'm going to highlight somebody out of Florida because you always bag on Florida. And I love Florida. They are an endless supply of stupid stuff.
They are.
We're going to switch it to the good side. There are heroes in Florida. And one of my favorite cities in all of Florida, I've been so fortunate to travel all throughout that state. I have family who lives in that state. I love it there. This comes out of Tampa, which, again, if you haven't been there, have you ever been there, Darren?
Yes.
Tampa is a remarkable city.
I mean,
from entertainment.
Play.
To working. It's just a great city, sports town, everything. And this is about a Tampa police officer who likely saved lives by veering into a wrong-way driver. A Florida police officer known for saving lives likely gave up his own to save a few more. Tampa police say that a wrong-way driver hit and killed Master Patrol Officer Jesse Madsen, 45, early on Tuesday morning. The crash happened northbound on I-275. He was going north. The driver was going south. We have an epidemic here in Arizona with wrong-way drivers. And I was just having a conversation with my son this morning about when you're going one direction 65 and somebody's coming 65 the other way, the closing speed is unimaginable. The destruction that's going to be involved. And this was not going on when we were kids or even when you first became a cop.
Maybe it wasn't being reported, but I don't remember it.
The last 6 or 8 years, it's like every week on the news, I'm hearing about a wrong way driver here in the valley where we live. And it's always with tragic circumstances. And cops nowadays are being faced with kind of
a dilemma.
Your options are kind of limited.
They are.
There's one way to stop a wrong way driver, and it's by crashing into them.
Physical intervention.
And stop it. Exactly. And this guy did it, and he sacrificed his life. Madsen, who was a father of three, of course, he had seven. Darren, this officer had seven life-saving awards.
It's who
with
he
the
was.
Department in just a 16-year career.
Yeah, it's who he was.
A life-saving award is not something giving out every day.
No.
Not at all. In 16 years, he had seven.
Wow.
That's one every 2 years, basically. Yeah.
And he did the ultimate sacrifice.
DNA. Investigators believe that he veered his patrol car into the oncoming car intentionally to save other drivers. When you look at someone who's earned seven life-saving awards, it's no surprise that he would take such swift action and do this, said Tampa Chief Brian Dugan. The wrong-way driver also died. That's just a fucking shame. He's been identified as 25-year-old Joshua Montague of Golden, Colorado. Way to go to Florida, dude, and
destroy people.
And fucking destroy people's lives. God dang it. I'm trying to do a heroic moment. Now I'm getting pissed off.
And I'm in tears over here because of that.
No, but
it's just wow.
In all seriousness, Mass Patrol Officer Jesse Madsen, saying thank you is just stupid. It's not right. I know he was doing his job and he did it. He left three kids who he loved behind so that he could protect people that he didn't even know or love. And that kind of sacrifice.
Ultimate sacrifice.
Really, it's hard to wrap your mind around that.
I don't think that's in a cop's job description.
But it's in our DNA.
It's your DNA, yes.
Exactly. I can promise you in the academy, you are not taught that.
No.
But it is in your DNA, and it is what most, if not all, and we're talking about a few that might not, most officers do exactly this, and they do it every day. I'm highlighting one guy in one city. When you think about all the officers in all the cities, in all the states, and what is happening right now as we speak, there's heroic measures being taken all the time. And I just, God bless you, Tampa. I'm sorry for your loss.
Absolutely.
And for the people the lives that he saved that nobody's ever going to really know, God bless them, and I hope they go on to live life the right way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, Darren, with that emotional and pissed off heroic thing, please ruin my day.
You know, you talk about the DNA, this beautiful DNA of this human being. I'm going to talk about maybe some flawed DNA. We have the Dumb De Blasio report number 10.
I love his DNA. I was going to ask him if he could donate some. I was going to create another child that I could adopt.
Oh, no? That's a beautiful story.
He won't do it.
From infamously killing a groundhog during a Groundhog Day photo op to his ludicrous COVID-19 sex safety tips detailing better safe and sexual instructions on the city website, we now have this from Dumb De Blasio. Mayor Bill De Blasio's wife wants New York citizens to physically intervene to stop violent racial hate crimes instead of calling the police. This after the wife successfully persuaded her husband 9 months ago to defend the police and redirect millions of dollars from the police department to several programs which she oversees as director. Yep, you heard right. Mayor Bill De Blasio's wife would rather have citizens risk their own lives stepping into the middle of a hate crime then call the police so she can continue to have millions of police dollars funneled into her own, quote, task force on racial inclusion and equity, end quote. As the city crime rates continue to skyrocket, with shootings doubling in 2020 and set to double again in 2021, and now a whole new wave of violence specifically targeting the Asian community in New York City, the latest unprovoked murderous attack on an Asian man last week sparked New York City's First Lady, Lady Shirlane McCray, to Twitter saying, quote, as attacks on Asian Americans continues, we're asking New Yorkers to intervene when witnessing hateful violence, suggesting, quote, respond directly to the aggressor and ask, ready for this, Jason? This is what she wants us to do, New York citizens. Ask the aggressor, what time is it, end quote. Be confident.
Seriously?
I swear to God. Be confident, assertive, calm. This is yes. risky, but sometimes we all we can do is speak up. Yeah, no, you're wrong, you tweeting twit. You tell people to call the police when witnessing a crime instead of telling them to ask a violent man with a gun what time it is. To recap, Mayor de Blasio and now his wife have denigrated police by standing with a violent mob, deplorably empowered lawlessness over law and order, demand tax dollars pay for vigilante programs, disbanded over 600 cops from anti-crime units, defunded the police department $1 billion, defend no bail with revolving jail doors for criminals, destroy the city's budget while paying his wife millions for her programs, and now is directing citizens to place themselves in harm's way during a crime, a hate crime, instead of calling the police. Mayor Bill de Blasio, a.k.a. Warren Wilhelm Jr., and New York's First Lady Shirlane McCray, you have single-handedly transformed the Big Apple into a rotten one. You are both dumbasses. Real quick backstory, her remarks came about a week after 36-year-old Zong Xing was killed in Brooklyn, intervening, exactly what she's talking about, intervening in just the same type of situation, attempting to help a stranger who happened to also be Asian, whom was being robbed. The 23-year-old suspect who happened to be black male, doesn't matter, his name, I'm not even going to say his name, he said, quote, about the victim, if he dies, he dies. I don't give a fuck. This is related to last week's, remember that 100 stupid protester story I did on the mass stupid suspect story?
Yeah.
I did on the protest where BLM protesters marched in the streets against white supremacy, and they're marching in name of this Asian man who was killed by a black man. They just didn't read the headlines, I guess. This is, again, when BLM is going a bridge too far. When they're riding the streets for any excuse, even when it's wrong. It had nothing to do with white supremacy. It was happened to be a black man. And it's not because he was black. It happened to be a black man who was killing this Asian male, and BLM rioted. This is the type of stupidity that's happening because the leadership, whether it be in the BLM or with the First Lady of New York City.
She wins the stupid bitch on the planet.
Well, you know what?
She's going to get people killed.
When you get to sit behind secured walls, live in a mansion, and by the way, have New York State troopers who are at the top of their game protecting you and your family at all times, you're free to say whatever you want, which is so fucked up. It's not even funny. They are completely immune to what the rest of us go through on a daily basis.
Completely. What time is it?
All they do is run their mouth, and that is just...
And I'll be honest with you, in the academy, and again, it was a long time ago, it was in 1986, I do not remember them telling me to confront an armed suspect killing somebody with the phrase, what time is it? Just saying.
I'd like to see her try that when someone's doing an assault on her, but then again...
Yeah, don't call the police. Ask them what time it is.
And that won't happen, of course, because like Jason said, she's got guards.
Yeah.
You know, we need something inspirational.
We all do.
We need something inspirational. I know this is a big ass, Jason, but man... You know, after having such a fun 40 minutes with Russ, my dumb de Blasio report, we need something inspirational, my friend. Help us.
I think this inspirational story this week is pretty intense. It covers a lot of spectrums, and it's about the father of a teenager who was killed in a police shootout. The father invited those officers to her funeral. Officers killed a teenage girl and were invited to the funeral. Officers suffer greatly when they have to take a life. They do. Politicians won't tell you that. CNN won't tell you that. I've seen it firsthand.
Literally, last thing you want to do.
When I investigated officer-involved shootings, it is a devastating thing. Darren, you took a human life. It is a devastating thing to do, and especially when you're talking about a teenage girl.
Oh, my God.
This is in Muskegee, Oklahoma. The father of a 17-year-old girl who was fatally shot after opening fire. She opened fire on police during a chase. He invited the officers involved in that shooting to attend her funeral. Stephen Rao said he forgives the Muskegee Police Department, the officers who shot his daughter, Farah, and then apologized for her having put them in that position where they were forced to return fire. I know they are hurting. They have to be hurting for what they had to do. It's their job. This guy is amazing.
I love him.
He lost his daughter in a shooting.
That's that kindness
and he's talking about.
He's
talking about the hurt that is going on. I'm speechless. He went on to say, I want people to know that they are loved. I want to hug them. I want everybody else to hug them. They need it. We need it. Rao said that his daughter had been struggling for the past 4 years after her parents divorced and that she began using drugs and cutting herself. According to police, Farah and her boyfriend, a 17-year-old Joseph Dugan,
POS,
took off from their hometown of Blair, Nebraska. What is with this traveling across state lines and causing problems? Goddamn,
right?
People. They headed down through Arkansas, Georgia, Florida. Investigators said they embarked on a multi-state crime spree before arriving in Oklahoma on February 28th. The teen stole a truck in Muskegee at 3 p.m. and started their pursuit with officers. The couple eventually crashed, jumped out of the vehicle, took off running on foot, and that's when Farah opened fire on a police officer. How often does a 17-year-old girl open fire on police? Jesus Christ.
Horrible.
Officers returned fire, of course, and she was killed in that shootout. Dugan continued running and fatally shot himself. Of course he was the coward in all this.
Coward of the county.
He left his girlfriend to fend for herself. And then he ends up taking his own life.
POS.
What a fucking humongous
POS.
Coward. God dang these people. Rao said that he hopes that all four involved officers will attend his daughter's funeral service that is being held today, Darren.
Yeah.
Back in Nebraska. So he invited these officers from Oklahoma to come to Nebraska to attend his daughter's funeral, which is going on as we speak. And he's asked them to speak at the gathering if they felt moved to do so. Muskegee Police Chief Johnny Teehee said he agreed to be a speaker at the teen service. I was honestly shocked when we got the invite. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen it like this, Darren. To me,
beautiful human.
It's a way for their family, the community, and for my officers and my department to begin the healing process. If that is not, that covers every part of what is involved in a deadly encounter with police. It really does. It covers everything. And I don't know if I would have the, no matter what my daughter, I have a daughter, no matter what she did wrong, if she was killed by police, I don't know.
I don't know
if that quickly I could come to terms. This is February 28th, just a week and a half ago, and today's a funeral. And he invited these officers so that they could heal. And I think, I find a tremendous amount of inspiration in that because that is...
It goes to everything Russ was talking about. Kindness heals.
It does. And we're all human beings at the end of the day. I love that this father understands accountability. And it's not about blaming his daughter. It's about understanding that she put herself as well as those officers in that position. The officers that took action, I promise you, and you know this, they're going to be affected for the rest of their lives.
Yep.
I would be interested to know in a year if all four of them are still even police officers.
Great point.
It will affect them greatly between PTS or for the ones, can you imagine, like our age, that what if they have a 17-year-old daughter? You know what that does to
and
these
you know
people?
What? I'd venture to guess they're going to be around because of the kindness.
Well,
of
they'll
this
be around
father.
Because they were allowed
Thank you.
To heal and they were not just bashed by the media and politicians.
For an
we
agenda.
Had a, True. And it doesn't matter what the media and politicians say about this. What matters is what Farrah's dad
yeah.
said about this.
Yeah,
a
beautiful.
Dad.
Yep.
When a dad speaks, you need to listen.
Yeah.
And that's just a
I can't
beautiful,
thank him enough.
Inspiring story. No, I really can't. And I'm so sorry. Again, she put herself in this position, her boyfriend, a complete
POS.
Piece of shit. Do you love how Darren says POS and I'm over here going piece of shit? Robin, how do you deal with this?
I love both
after
of you.
After 2 years, I cannot get Darren to...
Oh, he does. He does.
He does not. He's
he, said,
nice.
He said shit earlier.
Way too kind.
You have to go back and listen.
You know what? I will, because I don't believe you. but I mean, the that is just so
beautiful.
Emotionally overwhelming
it
to
is.
Me that a father...
I can't even wrap my
a
head
father
around it.
Can... But he wrapped his head around the yeah. loss of his daughter, along with
weighing
how
that
do
pain.
How do I heal the people that killed my daughter? That's not a lot of human
it's
beings
beautiful.
Out there who can do that. And I think it's beautiful. It's going to go a long way in his healing. It's going to go a long way in the officer's healing. And it does inspire me to leave here and go make this day a little more special.
Kindness.
That's just incredible. So thank you all. Thanks to Russ. Just Darren, you always hit it out of the park.
He hit it out of the ballpark.
With getting our guests
Great
on the
guy.
Show.
Great guy.
So Robin?
Yeah, Jason?
Did you cry?
Absolutely.
All right, you cried today. All right, then we're good. You know what? Then we can end the show. As long as Robin cried, the show's over.
Yeah, thanks for making the mascara run. Damn it.
God bless everybody, and we will very happily be back next week.
Batch Boys. Thanks for listening to Batch Boys. Stories, insights, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Batch Boys, heard weekly and worldwide on Star Worldwide networks and all mobile devices. Batch Boys.